All right, Sandy Rios with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. Today, we're going to go down under to Australia, and that's the didgeridoo, the famous sound of the Aboriginal people with that really long-tubed instrument. Isn't it interesting? So I just wanted to get you in the mood because today I'm going to be talking to Andrew Cooper, who is the founder and director of CPAC Australia. I got to talk to Andrew. I've met him before, but I'd never interviewed him. And so we talked at CPAC recently on Media Row, and we had quite the conversation, and I want to bring it to you. But first, Preborn is the direct competition to the abortion industry and the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the United States. By letting a woman see her baby on ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, a baby's chance of life doubles. Since 2007, Preborn has partnered with pregnancy clinics in the highest abortion cities and regions across the nation, providing life-saving ultrasounds. These clinics provide mothers who choose life with maternity and baby clothes, diapers, car seats, counseling, and much more. All of these services are provided free of charge, and that's because of you. That's because of you. And they give those things to the moms up to 2 years. Up to 2 years, they help them with these provisions. So if you'd like to help Preborn save babies and help their moms and just really life-giving measures, whatever it is they're doing, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Well, this is Sandy Rios, Sandy Rios 24/7. You can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write me at sandy@afr.net, the old email version of communicating, sandy@afr.net. You can find us on any social media platform. You can listen to the show on any podcast platform. That would be Spotify and Apple and Amazon and, you know, you fill in the blank. There's a lot I don't even know about, but we're there. You can also find us at our home base, which is aframericanfamilyradio.net. You can also listen at my website, sandyrios.com. You can get some more information at that site also. So there's just so many ways that we want to help you to be able to listen easily. Well, on today's show, as I said, this is from CPAC a couple of weeks ago, and Andrew and I had a chance to catch up on Media Row. Now, Andrew is a businessman. He's a very successful businessman, and he is the founder of CPAC Australia, which has become very successful. We talked about a lot of things, but we actually started talking about the COVID lockdowns because they were draconian in Australia. So that's where we're going to start on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
The love of field and copious, of green and shady lanes, of ordered woods and gardens, is running in your veins. Strong love of grey-blue distance, brown streams and soft dim skies. I know but cannot share it, my love is otherwise. I love a sunburnt country, a land of sweeping plains, of ragged mountain ranges, of droughts and flooding rains. I love her far horizons, I love her jewel sea, her beauty and her terror, the wide brown land for me.
Wow, that's the opening of CPAC Australia. And I just, it's so captivating. And anyone who knows anything knows how gorgeous Australia is. It's just a huge country with lots of topography that's very different people groups. It's a fascinating place. And that's why I was, am so happy to be able to talk to Andrew Cooper, because he's from Australia. And we talked about a lot of things. But one of the things that we started out pretty much at the top was one of the darkest periods of time in Australia's history, as far as I'm concerned, was their horrible COVID lockdowns. They were so restrictive, people couldn't go anywhere. They were much worse than, I think, well, there are some exceptions in the States, but we were more free than this. They would actually send people to camps. It was a really dark period of their history. So Andrea and I start talking about that, and then we move to, you know, other more wonderful things about Australia, a recent election. And so here we are, our conversation on Media Row at CPAC in Washington, D.C.
We have a new potential Prime Minister in Peter Dutton, who's a very solid Conservative. He's not a revolutionary like Trump is, but certainly he's very solid, he's principled, he's value-based, and you know, we can't wait for him to get into power and kind of wind back a lot of the crazy things that have been legislated over the last 3 years.
You know, Andrew, I would have to say that Americans had that same kind of shock. When we saw those COVID restrictions coming in, and we saw people actually tattling on each other or shaming each other, and these ridiculous rules, and some of us were not going to comply, but it was friends and neighbors. It was family members.
Yeah, look.
I mean, it was terrible, really.
Yeah, to think about it now, it's almost a surreal sort of reflection or memory. And in fact, I think the country's trying to wipe it from its collective conscience, to be perfectly honest. But the reaction, the pendulum has swung hard, right? And I'll give you an example. So once the pendulum started swinging, we allowed non-vaccinated visitors to Australia 12 months before the US did. So, just to give you an example,
yeah, yeah.
Right? So we freed up very quickly, and you know, there's still a collective embarrassment about the, you know, the images that you saw that came out of our country, but, you know, there's this determination to take back the country and never
we
let that happen
again.
We had
some of the same things. We were just worried. It was just hard to watch. It was a worldwide disaster. You know, they're showing Italian hospitals. They're showing New York hospitals. We found out later a lot of that was staged. A lot of it wasn't even true. The bodies, you know, dropping in the street in China, a lot of that wasn't true either.
Yeah. We call that fear porn.
Yes, we use that term too.
Yeah, yeah.
Which brings me to China, mm-hmm. which is the other thing now. My understanding is that China has, as it's swallowing up, you know, South America, Africa, it's been trying to swallow up Australia with the Belt and Road initiatives. So where does that stand?
Well, we're very, I think you'd call Australia a pretty solid, buffer against China influence in the region. We're the biggest donor in the region. So there's myriad of small Pacific nations that China are trying to bring under their influence. Some of them have folded through corruption.
Are you talking about like little islands around?
Yeah, like Solomon Islands,
yeah,
for example.
Right?
So they go to the Solomon Islands, and Australia gives significant support to the Solomon Islands. But China have gone to the Solomon Islands, promised them all sorts of infrastructure development, including a massive airport, if they allow China to use that airport should the day come. And so, you know, it becomes a strategic threat to the region.
Sure.
And, you know, this is where AUKUS, the agreement between the UK, the US and Australia, and potentially Canada, depending on how things go in the next few years, that's where that strategic alliance is so important for that region. We need strength in that region to stop China basically, swallowing up, as you said, these small Pacific nations and creating a platform for, well, who knows what.
Well, I was just talking to Gordon Chang a few minutes ago, and I think China still is intent on domination. They seem, according to Gordon, haven't really learned, you know, that maybe the game is over, the jig is up, as we might say, but they're still determined. So we've got to really fight. We've got to be aggressive, and every nation has to be aggressive.
Yeah.
Just like the guy in Panama Canal. who said, you know, sort of bucked up. That took a lot of courage, you know. Took a lot of courage to do that.
No, I agree. I mean, you can't, you know, China's intentions are pretty clear.
Yeah.
And you can't stop that sort of aggressiveness with just wishful thinking. You need to show strength.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, I think Australia's been very much at the forefront of doing that.
Okay, so you started CPAC Australia, and how's it doing? Is it like burgeoning, or is it exploding? What's it doing?
I think burgeoning is a good word. We're growing. It was immediately the biggest conservative conference in the country. Now it's just the biggest conference in the country. And to give you an example of how powerful the CPAC brand was, before we even had our first conference in 2019, we had the now current left-wing prime minister speaking out against it in parliament. We had the shadow foreign minister saying that Matt Schlapp should be banned from coming to Australia. We had, it was claimed to be a cavalcade of hate, and gun-loving Americans were taking over Australia. It was, honestly, Sandy, it was absolutely absurd, but gives you an idea of the flavour of the left back then, and that flavour then perpetrated those COVID lockdowns, introduced all sorts of crazy legislation, and it's really important that the Conservatives take back our country.
You know, I hope people are not the same everywhere. You can't say that. We have a real strong strand locked in, I think, baked into the cake by our founders of a belief in God. Not everyone, but it really gives you a foundation of strength and unwavering and independence is like willing to give your life, you know. But not everybody has that. But we have enough people, thank God. We saw at the election, finally, we have people, enough of us, that said, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. This is too far. And we just hope and pray that happens in Australia, that you have enough common sense people that they'll find their courage. And look, Andrew, you got a lot of courage. And, courage breeds courage. So you need to talk to your candidate. What's his name again?
Peter Dutton is the leader of the opposition. Yeah.
Okay.
And he's a solid conservative. And we're very hopeful that he'll make a great prime minister.
You know, you mentioned two things that I want to follow up on. And this one of them was in the international meeting the other day. You mentioned that you have an aboriginal member of CPAC, and that there was a bill in your parliament, it'd be a parliament in Australia, to grant too much favor to minorities.
So what it
an
was...
An unfair advantage.
We have a constitution, much like you have a constitution, and there was a proposal to change that constitution to create a special category for Aboriginal Australians with their own special powers. It was basically, the objection was that it was introducing race into the Australian constitution, something, as a matter of principle, CPAC is against. We happen to have, one of my co-directors and chairman is an Aboriginal man, a great man, a well-known and popular man in Australia. And he and a CPAC speaker, long-standing alumni speaker of CPAC's, a senator, Jacinta Price, they toured the nation for 12 months and changed the popularity of that proposal. And it was popular to start with. It was 70% in favour, according to the polls. The reason it was popular is that there's not an Australian I don't know that doesn't yearn for a better life, particularly for our remote area Aboriginal people. So anything proposing to improve their life or supposedly improve their life is popular. However, you know, Warren and Jacinta, Aboriginal people with experience of what are the true problems in those communities, knew that this proposed amendment to the Constitution was not the solution. So they toured the country and they turned it from a 70% in favour to eventually winning 60% against.
Oh,
so it was a fantastic
huge.
The impact of that was fantastic. And in some ways, Sandy, that gave the impetus to the Conservatives to regain their confidence, because the Conservatives eventually opposed that on the back of the fact that CPAC was putting pressure on them. And then they changed their leader. He opposed it, and now they're in a position to regain power in the country.
Just for the sake of people listening, you know, I know you know this, Andrew, but the communists always create a group that's the victim, you know, and we're the oppressors. And so it's for us, it's black and brown people. That's what they tell us. Like we're supposed to think of people that way. And certainly prejudice has been very real, and mistreatment in our country has been in yours too. But we're working to stop that. We have a war over that. We lost hundreds of thousands of young men trying to free the slaves. So we're trying to deal with that. But there are those that want to stir that up and make it worse.
Yeah, the left are great at creating division, aren't
they?
And then pandering to each of those individual groups and collecting them up. The thing about Aboriginal Australia is 80% of Aboriginal people lead the same standard of living as the rest of the country. So they're doing very well. There's this select sort of 20%, which is about 0.5% of the population. They live in traditional communities, typically in outback locations, and have welfare piled on top of them, basically. They don't have to work. And the nature of those communities is that the land is owned by Aboriginal community groups, so they can't actually own their own houses. So they don't get the benefit of that property ownership, that pride in their property.
Okay.
They get welfare all the time. They don't have to work. And we know that generational welfare is like a drug, right? It saps
your... For any color of people.
For anyone.
It did it in Russia.
Right.
I was in the Soviet Union before it broke up, and it was the spring, right before Yeltsin ran. And I was around all of these people who had housing, everything for free. They're lying in the park, drunk. We had incredible conversations, but it took away all the incentive for living, all the incentive for working, for creating. It does that to people of all colors.
That's right. And people like my chairman, Warren Mundine, he understands that. And so that's why he campaigned to remove those amendments to the Constitution, because that was only going to exacerbate the current problem. And the solution is that we need to get those people out into the workforce. And that sometimes... As we know, generational welfare is very hard to remove.
Yes,
so there's
as
hard decisions.
We know. Yeah. We do know that. Now, you mentioned something to me before we started talking on mic about some move to bring in massive immigration, like a sudden migration. I didn't quite catch all that.
So we have the election about to be announced by the Labor government. And yesterday, the immigration minister just approved tens of thousands of migrants to be settled into Western Sydney seats that they desperately need to win to hold power. Now, thankfully and unusually, the Australian media is in furor over this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's going to backfire, I'd say. But it's just crazy. It's just gives you an indication of how the left operate, right?
They do the same thing here. You know this.
Yeah, I do.
They do. They do. This is the other thing. I always say, you know, they are not... This is my way, Andrew. I believe that God that we serve is very creative. He never does anything the same way twice. No baby looks alike. No fingerprint is alike. But the dark side repeats. They're not that creative. So they do the same thing everywhere. They're doing the same thing all over the world right now.
Yeah.
So we know the pattern. And once you figure that out, it's easier to fight it, I think.
Yeah. Well, we need a change of policy. The Conservatives were the ones that stopped illegal immigration, the boat people, as we used to call them.
Yeah.
And, the Conservatives were called so cruel to stop people trying to enter our country on flimsy boats, many thousands drowning every year. They're so cruel. But Australia takes more immigrants than pretty well any other nation in the world. We are a nation of immigrants. 35% of our population was born elsewhere, but it's a very harmonious, safe country. We do immigration probably better than anyone anywhere in the world. But the Labor government is now just flooding the country, and they're coming from countries that you wouldn't say were culturally aligned with Western values, and that is having an impact on our country, as it is having in Britain and here.
Yeah. It's a design. It's like the George Soros model of weakening Western civilization, destroying it.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how powerful a few people can become. Really is.
And as Elon Musk said on stage yesterday, they know the voting intention of these people that do come in. That's why you'd wonder, why would they bring those people in? They don't care about bringing them in because they're sympathetic to their plight or that they're going to be great assets to the nation. They bring them in because they know they're going to vote for them over the Conservatives. That's the only reason.
Well, that's exactly... You know, when Obama was in office, this is the first time I realized that was happening. Clinton might have done some of that because we know exactly where our immigration problems started. And it was Kennedy, Edward Kennedy, then it was Clinton who carried on. I was in Chicago. I live in Chicago. Lived in Chicago. That's our hometown. And so it's Soldier Field, which is where the Chicago Bears play. They actually, right before the election, they took They brought in thousands of immigrants to take the oath of citizenship. You know, like 2 months before the election, there were like 10,000 of them on the grass down. This is what they were doing.
This is exactly what Australia's done.
Yeah. So then Obama enters the scene, and he's even more clever because they start bringing, you know, Syrian refugees or Afghan refugees, and they're plotting them down in the red states and sometimes putting them in these little towns without any warning, and they have no, they don't have the resources, they don't have their water system, their plumbing, nothing. They're not ready, and it's destroyed these towns, destroyed them, but it's brought in the right kind of voters.
That's right, and it's a
tragedy. Terrible.
It is terrible. It was interesting. You know, so Australia copies that playbook, right? The left copy that playbook, and quite frankly, our conservatives copy the conservative playbook over here. For example, that senator that I said campaigned against the constitutional amendment, she's been put in charge of Australia's Doge. Should the Conservatives win the election?
Is that part of the campaign speech and all of that?
Yeah.
Okay, I wish I could be there. I guess Americans can't campaign in your elections, but it's sure tempting. You know, does Australia still have these huge, beautiful farms, horse farms? I am addicted to international movies. I don't American movies not so much, but I do, and I've watched so many Australian series. So I have this thing in my head that you have all these cowboys still there.
Yeah, of course we do. I mean, most of the population clings to the surf coaches, the coasts and the beaches, but we have these massive properties throughout the country the size of your average country in Europe, for example. So we have massive. Massive properties, grazing properties, cattle properties. It depends on where they're located. And they're huge. They could be countries in their own right.
Yeah, I know. It's true. So did you tell me, have I asked, economically, how's the economy? Is it good and strong? Is there a good industry?
So the Australian economy, conservatism is the basics, sort of the standard political force in Australia. Two-thirds of prime ministers in Australia have been conservatives, so it's more often than not. And for 32 years, we have not had a recession. If you think about the banking crisis, for example, the financial crisis in 2008, we breezed through that. For the first time, the last year, we've been in per capita GDP recession. The only reason it hasn't been in nominal recession is because the government's been flooding the country with immigrants who bring economic activity and keeps the nominal numbers up above recession levels. But everyone knows that their standard of living is dropping. Inflation's high, prices are going crazy, wages and unemployment are ticking up. So everyone knows that we're on the cusp, and this is why they're likely to vote the Labor Party out.
Okay, so this is going to show you my ignorance, because this is kind of a dumb question. I should know. What is your relationship with Great Britain now? Are you still, is the king still your king?
Under our constitution, I mean, we're totally autonomous, except that the king has very limited powers to intervene in our constitution. And the last time the king or the queen intervened was in 1972, to give you an idea about how limited these powers are. But what it does mean is we use the Westminster system that is employed in the UK as our system of government. We don't have a president. That role is reserved for the king. But we have a fully functioning parliamentary system with senators overseeing the parliamentary house.
You don't have a House of Lords or
no,
House of
don't.
Lords and House of Okay.
No.
Do you have one house? You have two houses?
We have two houses.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. One other thing that's important, and you and I discussed this a little bit 2 days ago, and that is the source of media for Australians. Do you have free and can you? Is the internet free? Is it censored? And where do people get their information?
So the internet, there's basic freedom, but the media. We're a relatively small country of 27 million people. There's not a great deal of media depth. So through the COVID years, it was very clear that they were just mouthpieces for the government.
Mm-hmm.
The internet is much more free, but this year, or last year, the Labor government brought in what we call the e-safety commissioner, right?
What now?
The e-safety commissioner.
Okay.
Essentially an Orwellian body that scours the internet looking for what they consider to be falsehoods.
Yes. Of course. It's actually like Facebook, you know.
Yeah, they actually tried to sue X last year.
Okay.
And Elon Musk came to town and crushed them in the courts, which was a marvelous result, another debt of gratitude we owe Elon. But they will, you know, we know what happens, right? They've created the e-safety commission with relatively limited powers, but we know what will happen, right? Those powers will grow.
Absolutely.
And the conservative voices will be shut down.
Yeah. All right, so that's social media. But how about television, news, or what are the sources? Can you get sources from here? Can you get, CPAC Online or but BBC? Would that be...
Yeah, no, we can get access to the world's news.
Okay.
But the actual TV stations, the television networks that are in Australia are very limited, and their ratings are dropping. They're plummeting like they are here, right? The left-wing media, you know, everyone knows the game's up. We have a Sky News network, which is very similar to Fox.
I thought you'd never mention it. But, yeah, Sky News. I play clips from Sky News because they say they... They are very frank. I don't know if every show is that way, but there are a lot of hosts there that really tell it like it is, even more than our American hosts.
Yeah,
I actually do love it. I do.
Well, you'd love it. They telecast CPAC live for us
down under.
They actually run a couple of live shows on the stage where, you know, the frankness does prevail.
It does. it's very colorful.
Yeah.
Very colorful commentary.
Exactly.
I love it. See, I just, people just need to hear the truth.
Yeah.
They just need to hear it. And that's what, I believe that's what's happened in this country. That's a huge part of our story, is that we were able to get around. But many people didn't get around it. They still are in that vortex of believing, you know, still believing about COVID. Some are people, you know, wearing masks.
The absurdity is that, you know, the left want to create bodies to, in their view, shut down sort of disinformation. But the reality is the perpetrators of disinformation is the government. They're the worst perpetrators.
Exactly.
So the government's creating, you know, bodies that should be like, you know, looking at them, not looking outwards at the people.
Well, here, you know, the CIA is infamous for overstepping their bounds. They used to be international, and now they've, you know, joined the... They've done some horrible things to us, to American people.
Yeah,
and then, of course, the FBI was working with the Biden administration. Even had a desk in one of the wings of the White House. So it's just things really went wrong, and they started surveilling, you know, Americans. We're going to put a stop to that, and I hope that you guys can do the same.
Mm. The one difference between, say, the U.S. and probably most Western nations is Australia doesn't have that that security apparatus, that deep state kind of these security agencies that kind of have their own agendas and their own ability to. We don't really have that. We have a bureaucratic deep state that's very difficult to dislodge, but we don't yet have that kind of overpowering authoritarian bodies that could be, you know, listening to your phone calls or spying on you.
That's good. That's great.
Not yet.
Yeah. Well, maybe you can stop it. And I would think, correct me if I'm wrong, I would think a lot of the things that are happening here can be transported or can be duplicated. Like Elon Musk, maybe he'll go on the road and take his Doge, you know, gang with him.
Well, so we think about that, right? So, you know, we're replicating Doge, but Elon Musk is a very special person.
Exactly.
So we can't expect the person that does Doge in Australia to do what Elon does. We also can't expect our future Prime Minister to be Donald J. Trump, because there's only one Donald J. Trump. The UK is interesting to me. They have creative destruction going on there at the moment, where the Conservative Party has been crushed by Nigel Farage's Reform Party. And I think that's just a brilliant circumstance for them. There's a lot of opportunity. We don't have that yet in Australia. I'd love someone like a Donald J. Trump or a Nigel Farage to emerge out of our political force and or classes really mount the argument that the government is way too influential in our lives and needs to be crushed.
What is your feeling about what's going to happen in the UK? Do you think Nigel Farage can prevail? I've heard, you know, real optimistic reports. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I just spent a week in the UK I met with, Liz Truss and Jacob Rees-Mogg and many, many other political types, and also met with many of the campaign managers that are running reform. For me, I can't see how they can't go to the next election in 4.5 years competing with each other. They need to actually do some sort of deal, and I can't see anyone except Nigel taking the fight properly to the Labor Party. So, you know, it's my there's different opinions on this, but I would think that Nigel Farage and Reform will do a deal with the Conservatives, and they'll either join forces or do what we do in Australia and have a coalition where they don't compete against each other. They carve up the country in different seats. And Nigel, I think, will go to the next election as the alternate Prime Minister. And I just think that is just bloody magnificent.
Well, I do too. I do too. You guys are... Oh, I know. This is... You weren't... You never were anywhere near the European Union. You didn't... Because you're not in Europe. Yeah. Okay. There's no big... an international body that's tried to swallow you up except for China.
Yeah, pretty well. No, we're in the Commonwealth. But that includes a diverse group of countries. You know, our ties are with the UK and the US. We do a lot of trade with China, to be perfectly frank.
Well, so do we.
Yeah. So, but we're very, very cautious with any, you know, we're always having fights with China. They're always, you know, getting rid of our diplomats, and we're always kicking them back home as well. It's, you know, they put bans on our wine products recently. So, we don't really retaliate. We're a free trading nation, essentially. We're very wary and cautious about China. We think we know what their playbook is, as you said, and I don't think we'll get too close to them ever.
Oh, I think that would be, 5 minutes with Gordon, and no one would get close to China ever, Gordon Chang.
Yeah.
Is Gordon a known entity in Australia?
Yeah, Gordon spoke on our CPAC stage. Yes, of course he is. Yeah. Yeah, interviewed by our friends at Sky News on numerous occasions.
Yeah, good.
In fact, I travelled to Hong Kong with Gordon Chang at the height of the student protests.
Oh, you did? Oh, my goodness.
With Match Lap as well.
Wow.
And, I've been in at the front line with those horrible Hong Kong police backed by China, by the CCP, in the rain with thousands and thousands of students. And they started chanting, they started singing the US national anthem. It was like, as an Australian, it was moving. You know, I can't imagine what it was for them.
Well, that was an amazing memory of Hong Kong. I remember we talked about a lot of that on our morning show as it was happening. It was so moving, as Andrew described. I wish I could have been there. I remember we played this over and over again, students, people in the streets singing American choruses in English. Things that we recognize, their worship songs. There was a strong, strong Christian thread throughout those protests. And of course, the ending of it was just a disaster. They've lost their freedoms. They've been swallowed up by mainland Red China, and they are in the full grip of communism. A very sad story, but I hope you enjoyed that interview with Andrew. We have more, so don't go away. We'll be back right after this. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Reborn has a passion for saving unborn babies from abortion and seeing women come to Christ. Over the past 18 years, Preborn clinics have counseled over 500,000 women considering abortion, and more than 300,000 babies have been saved, and over 80,000 women have come to Christ. Now that's real life. You know, that's eternal life. That's what we want for their babies, too, eventually. Every day, Preborn Network Clinics rescues 200 babies from abortion. If you would like to join our effort to stop abortion, that's really what they're doing. That's what I'm doing, too. It's a mutually agreed-upon mission. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
A vote to unite the country and begin to heal years of trauma for Indigenous Australians has ended in failure. Bitter and divisive, this referendum to recognise First Nations people in the Constitution and give them a direct voice to government received a resounding no.
While tonight's result is not one that I had hoped for, I absolutely respect the decision of the Australian people and the democratic process that has delivered it. Just as the Uluru Statement from the Heart was an invitation extended with humility, grace, and optimism for the future, tonight we must meet this result with the same grace and humility.
A debate polarised and politicised.
Information about voting yes.
The yes campaign failed to inspire many voters, while the no camp demanded more detail.
It's causing division in the country.
Really worried about what tomorrow is going to bring.
Don't have enough information on what exactly the outcome will be after if the yes come through.
Fear and misinformation blamed for the defeat.
From the bottom of our hearts, thank you.
Do you blame racism at all for this result?
We live and breathe racism every day, my girl. But hope and goodwill ship has sailed. You may never pass this way.
This will be a hard blow for many Indigenous Australians. And the fear is that not only has it created a deep divide in the country, it could set the rights of Indigenous people back years. Poverty and racism. It was hoped this referendum would help these remote communities. There's no hope for that now. Nicole Johnston, Sky News, Sydney.
All right, I just wanted you to see how dreadful the Sky News. Now, Sky News is usually conservative, so I don't know what's going on there, but it's like our Fox News. They get a lot of things right and a lot of things wrong, that's my opinion. And so that's the dreadful report they deliver on that, and really just twisted. You heard Andrew explain the Aborigines were against this. They didn't want this. And he explained to you that most Aborigines, by huge numbers, live the same level of life, the same luxury, the same lack of luxury. They live the same way as regular, whatever you want to call them, Australians. And so the Aborigines didn't even want this vote, and they didn't vote for it. And when they talk about how sad it was, the vote was 60% to 40, 39 really. It was an overwhelming vote against making a protected class and creating, and we understand that, how the laws start creating special privileges for people because of their color or their sex. And it creates division among us. And it gives, it's really insulting really to the class that they're trying to help, like those Andrew already explained to you that the Indigenous people, for the most part, are not suffering. They have developed to the point where they're on par, except for some people in poverty areas, which I'm sure there are Australians who are, you know, white, oh, whatever, white, purple Australians who are not in, who are in poverty areas as well. You see how this goes. And I just wanted you to hear that because you can understand the propaganda, how it works over there, just like it works over here. All right, well, that's a sad story, but it's really a good story because that means Australia is growing up and they're becoming colorblind just like we are. And that's really good news, and I think Andrew did explain that thoroughly. Well, I hope you enjoyed my interview with Andrew. I certainly did. And it could be that I'll be at CPAC Australia this coming fall. I don't know, but we'll see. And if I am, I'll let you know. That'll be fun, won't it? Because I'll bring all kinds of different shows to you. That's what I'm anticipating if it should work out.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's show. And before we go, I want to thank Timothy Plan, because they help you put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.